Thank you. Today I would like to give a talk on part of my research project that looks at the response of beans to conventional versus alternative phosphorus fertilizers. So phosphorus is an essential plant nutrient that is required for several biochemical processes in a plant, and its function in a plant cannot be substituted by any other element. So essentially, without phosphorus, we cannot produce food. Its importance has long been recognized since the 1800s, where growers would apply material containing phosphorus, such as manure, human excreta, and guano. And as centuries went by, more people relied on using phosphate rock to supplement their phosphorus needs, as indicated by the red part of the graph. Now, the issue with our reliance on phosphate rock is that it is a limited non-renewable resource that formed over millions of years. So that's why several researchers have predicted that we are soon approaching the peak of our phosphate rock. And that means that at that time when we reach the peak, beyond those times, we can no longer increase the rate at which we mine phosphorus, and that's a problem. Irrespective of population growth, we can no longer mine phosphorus at higher rates after we reach the peak. So if we look at the situation here in US used to be one of the biggest producers of rock phosphate. And when we look at the survey that was given by the US Geological Survey in the last 2 years, this is how much phosphorus has been mined in US. And when we compare that to what China is currently producing, we see that US is actually producing 4 times less what China is producing, while the reserves that US has now, they are like 50 times less the reserves that Morocco has. So the truth is now, in the near future, US will have to rely on phosphorus imported from other countries to meet its peak demand. And if you look at the total reserves that have been shown that we have it, across the world, even though different researchers are not agreeing on which year all the phosphate rock reserves will be depleted, the truth is we are going to have a limited availability of phosphorus in the near future. So to help solve the issue we have with phosphate rock and its availability, let's first look at the system that we have currently. What we do now is usually we mine the phosphate rock, we make fertilizers with it, then we apply it to the land, we harvest the crop either for animal feed or for human consumption. And in the animal production units, that's where you get enormous production of animal manure, which contains considerable amounts of phosphorus, and when not utilized correctly, the phosphorus make its way to nearby water bodies to cause eutrophication. So what we can do is try and close this phosphorus cycle by returning the manure back to the field. But we know that manure sometimes has a tendency of containing weeds and pathogens. So normally what is done is we first treat the manure by composting it or anaerobically digesting it and applying it back to the field. So, but for using this manure material as phosphorus fertilizer, we first need to understand a few things about them, such as how will crops respond to them, what is their pre-release capacities, how will they influence the soil quality, as well as what are the influence of different physiochemical properties of soil on phosphorus release from this material. So for most of my research, I focus on all those points, but for today I will only deal with the first bullet. That's why the objective of today is to first compare the pinto bean leaf pea concentration, the seed yield, as well as the seed pea concentration when using conventional phosphorus fertilizer obtained from rock phosphate and alternative pea fertilizers that were recovered from animal manures. So to pursue the objective, a field experiment was conducted at the USDA research farm in Patterson at Washington State on a Quincy sand, and these are the fertilizer treatments we used. So there was anaerobically digested dairy manure, composted chicken manure, as well as monoammonium phosphate and a control. So in total, there were 13 phosphorus treatments. We had the three fertilizer types were varied at four levels of application, and we included two varieties of pinto beans, which were replicated. The experiment was replicated four times. So to get the four rates that we used, the soil, we tested the initial P status and consulted the fertilizer guideline to see that actually for that soil test, we had 12 kg per hectare was the recommended phosphorus rate. So we took half the recommended rate, the actual rate, one and half the rate, the recommended rate, as well as double the recommended rate. So the design was a split plot where the replicate served as the whole plot and the two varieties of beans were subplots. And the 13 treatments we had were randomly assigned to the subplots. So to monitor the phosphorus uptake from the bean throughout the growing season, leaf samples were collected at three growing stages of the plant. By selecting 20 leaves, 20 youngest fully matured leaves from the bean, from the five middle rows of the plot, then we analyzed the leaves for P concentration. I also collected soil samples, but the data for that is not presented in this talk today. So at the end of the growing season, then seeds were harvested using the combine and to get the seed yield as well as the phosphorus that was contained in the seeds. So this is was actually a two-year trial. So today I'm going to give results from the trial we did last year. So what we saw from this experiment was that actually the fertilizers that we used applied at the different rates did not affect the leaf P concentration, as well as the two cultivars, the P concentration was not significantly different. The P concentration from the cultivars was actually significantly different, where the Basta had significantly higher P concentration than the Stampede. And time of sampling also was significantly affected the leaf P concentration. What we saw was as the growing period progressed from vegetative growth stage 6 to flowering, the tissue P concentration decreased significantly. In terms of yield, again, we did not see any significant difference between the treatments that we used, as well as the cultivar type did not have a significant difference in yield. But when we analyzed the amount of phosphorus that was contained in the seed, what we saw was that actually the treatments had a significant effect, while cultivar type did not. So looking at the half the recommended rate, what we saw was actually the two alternative fertilizers that we used had significantly higher seed P concentration than the monoammonium phosphate, which is a conventional P fertilizer. And the ADD means the anaerobically digested dairy manure, while the CCM is the composted chicken manure. And as we increase the rate to the actual recommended, then MAP was somehow higher, numerically higher than the control, but still not significantly different, while our two alternative P fertilizers were significantly higher in terms of their seed P concentration. And when we took one and half the recommended rate, that's when the conventional P MAP was significantly higher than the control, but still did not reach the same level as the alternative P fertilizers that we investigated. And a similar trend was also seen when we doubled the recommended application rate. Somehow the MAP was approaching the level, the same level as the alternative P fertilizers were used, but still it was significantly lower than those, but significantly higher than the control. So in summary, what we learned here was that as the growing season progresses, the tissue leaf P concentration decreases with time, and both the conventional as well as the alternative P fertilizers we used, they did not significantly affect the yield as well as the tissue P, leaf P. And alternative fertilizers improved the seed P concentration even at the half recommended rate, while the conventional P fertilizer only increased the seed P concentration when we took more than what is recommended to be applied. So in conclusion, what we have learned here is that the alternative P fertilizers that we used, they were better able at increasing the uptake of P and its translocation to the seed, even at lower recommended rates. I would like to thank my committee members, as well as the WSU Process Soils Lab, and there's organizations that helped me conduct this experiment. Thank you.
Questions for please? Yes.
Oh, actually, the question is, how did I control the nitrogen between my treatments? So what we did is, at planting, we actually calculated how much nitrogen was applied by each rate from the different fertilizers and compensated that using urea. And we also did the same for potassium. We applied potassium to compensate for the difference in potassium. And throughout the growing season, we actually applied nitrogen through fertigation because that's the standard practice that is done in the area where we conducted the experiment.
Other questions? Yes.
You showed that there was an increase in phosphorus content. Did you analyze for others like zinc?
No, I did not.
Yes.
Do you have any hypotheses about why you did not see increased yield, but you did in fact see increased translocation specifically into the seed?
I was thinking it's because the actual initial P content was not low enough to cause yield decreases. So we started with a soil that had moderate P content, so yield was not affected. But because the additional P was there, the plant wanted to take as much as possible and put it in the seed. Yeah, even though it's beyond what it's critical for its growth.
One question myself for you. If you take this seed phosphorus as an indicator of phosphorus availability, it would seem to suggest that your alternatives, for some reason, supplied more phosphorus than the monoammonium phosphate. What kind of factors in the soil or factors in that conventional, that new fertilizer might have led to that difference?
I am going to answer this based on some experiment I did in the past, where I used actual chicken manure and cattle manure back in South Africa. And what we saw there is that phosphorus from those, from organic sources, it's 50% of it is immediately available, while the rest of it becomes available with time. So I was thinking maybe the release of it was so extended such that the plant could take it up and it was available at that growing stage, other than the MAP where everything is available in the beginning, and if you and if the plant take it up but it cannot it doesn't get mineralized later to be taken up later.
Thank you. Join me in thanking